guardians of the spiritual world. So he says, the first man became a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. Contrast between Adam and Christ. The first man became a living soul. His body existed before he did. But the last Adam, Christ in resurrection glory, is a life-giving spirit. Adam receives life in his body. Christ gives life. Come again. Verse 46, the principle is stated. There is that which is not spiritual, not first spiritual. That which is spiritual is not first, but that which is natural and natural, but that which is spiritual is not right. You had natural life before you get spiritual life. You have a natural body before you'll get a spiritual body. Natural first, spiritual second. Now he begins to contrast Adam and Christ. Verse 47, origin, the first man is of the earth, made of dust, Adam. The second man, the Lord out of heaven, origin. Verse 48, quality of life. As is the earthly one, such also are they that are earthly. As is the heavenly one, Christ, such also are they that are heavenly, quality of life. Verse 49, likeness. As we have borne the image of the earthly one Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one Christ. So now, he's talking now about we've borne the image of the earthly, so we'll bear the image of the heavenly. So now, we'll need now to deal with the question of recognition. We have seen the nature of the body. So the question arises now, here it is. We bore the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Okay. We all bear the image of the earthly Adam. That is, we have bodies like Adam, and we have the life that Adam possessed. Yeah, we're all different. We're not two of us alike. That's amazing. This is creatorial glory. Look all around the hall tonight. We're all different. There might be a wee bit of likeness here and there. If ever and on, even the twins, there'll be a difference. You take the whole world tonight, not two alike. You take the billions upon billions, trillions upon trillions of men and women from Adam right down. Not so long. Recognition. Yet, on the whole, God had only this to work. And this, it is all different. Mass production. That's what man, when man wants anything, it's mass production, everything must be the same. Amen? But when God does anything, you get your difference, you land over. Up yonder, we'll all have bodies like us. We'll all be living out the life of Christ, but we'll all be different. So that I'll recognize you and you'll recognize me. To help. Before I give you them, let me say this. It would be quite easy to accept that we won't be less intelligent up there than we are down here. We won't be faceless. Tell me, in Luke 16, didn't the rich man recognize Abel? On the other side. At the close of 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, what is our hope, what is our joy, our hope, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? But how would Paul know they were there? Talk about them being his crown and joy if he didn't know. They will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. There'll be his open crowd, for he led them to Christ and tended them. So quite clearly. Again. Now this is interesting. You take the Mount of Transfiguration. You know the story.
Read it.
Now notice, please, according to the record that Peter, James, and John recognized Moses and Elijah without introduction. Intuitively. We'll recognize the folks we know. It'll be intuitively revealed to us, the ones we know. Now, this raises another problem. You see, some brethren have been married more than once. Some sisters have been married more than once. Will there be embarrassment? Well, now let's ask.
The Lord talks about this.
Matthew chapter 22. The Sadducees, who didn't believe in resurrection, came to Christ with a question about resurrection. Here was a woman. She married a man who became a husband and he died. So the brother to him seemed to raise a family. What was known in earlier days as levirate marriage. However, the second husband died, so the third brother was sitting there. So she took the first when he died, the second took her and he died, the third took her and he died, the fourth took her and he died, the fifth he died. The sixth he died, and the seventh to him, he died too. Right. And last of all, Perseus, is he died. The question was, whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? Now watch. The Lord answered. Now he says, you Sadducees err on two grounds. The first ground you err on is this, and you don't know the scriptures. That's why he asked this. Question number two. You don't know the power of God. And he grew light on that resurrection one. Whatever conditions obtain on the other side will be for our perfect, complete, final, and eternal happiness. You believe that? No matter what Christ says, it will be for our happiness. You might not understand now, but it will be for our benefit. I said this to you, man. In that resurrection world, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. So the marriage state doesn't go over to the other side. He says, they are as the angels of heaven. So that when we meet each other, there will be no question of embarrassment. Now I can't explain it all. You understand that. Because when you come to these things, because they are the things of God and of eternity, there's a mystery about them. Why, if you could reason all out, you wouldn't need reason. So all that we want to know is not all revealed. There are limits.
No. That's it.
Now let's come to the same. The mystery of the chains. Verse 50, the need for the chains. Verses 51 to 53, the description of the change. Verses 52 to verses 54 to 57, the celebration of the change. And finally, the last verse, 58, the conclusion. Have you got that? The verse 50, the need for the change. 51 to 53, the description of the change. 54 to 57, the celebration of the change. And finally, verse 58, the conclusion. Verse 50. Now he says, here, the need for the change. He informs us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. By that he means this, that you cannot go to heaven in the body of God. For perfect conditions on the other side, there are certain fitnesses demanded. First of all, there must be judicial fitness. Secondly, there must be physical fitness. Thirdly, there must be moral fitness. Judicial fitness you get by the blood of Christ. Physical fitness you shall receive at the resurrection morning when you receive your resurrection body. Moral fitness means that we shall be perfectly like Christ. We'll have the life of Christ. We'll have the mind of Christ. Don't forget that. We'll see things the way Christ sees them. That will answer all the questions about the judgment seat. All these questions about loved ones that are lost. Understand? You'll have the mind of Christ. You'll see everything as He sees them, and everything will be seen to the right. Clear about these things. So, yes, there must be a change. Now, verses 51 to 53, he describes the change. Verse 51, the certainty of it. We shall all be changed. Verse 52, the rapidity of it. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Verse 53, the cost of it. The certainty, the rapidity, the must. This corruptible must be torn in corruption. Now please, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Two questions. Question number one, what is a mystery? Question number two, what is this mystery? Now, I show you a mystery. What is a mystery? Now, listen to me, because we'll need to learn that you cannot interpret your Bible with an English dictionary, for it was written in Greek. Well, these things sound very simple, don't they, when they're stated, but we need to know them. What is a mystery? A mystery. What is this mystery? Well, now, the mystery here, you see, in English, a mystery is something that's obscure, something that's hidden, something that's secret. When you come to your New Testament, a mystery is something that's revealed at the moment God chooses to reveal it. You will recall words like this that the inspired writer mentioned in Ephesians 3 when he said, how that by revelation God made known unto me the mystery. It's the mystery that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, fellow members, fellow partakers of the promise. He says, but this mystery was kept secret since the world began. You don't find it in your Old Testament. Until it was revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in that order. Whenever you read apostles and prophets, the prophets are New Testament prophets. The Old Testament prophets didn't know anything about it. So, a mystery in your New Testament is something that God kept secret until the moment He wanted to reveal it. Good. What is this mystery? Now, the expositors and commentators will tell you this mystery of ours. Well, now, just drop your eye and we'll read. Verse 51. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There's no mention of an answer. You never leave the earth in 1 Corinthians 15. He's dealing with resurrection. You see, when you read a passage like that, and I'm not criticizing you, I'm misunderstanding. When you read a passage like that, you automatically link it with 1 Thessalonians 4. For they both have to do with the rapture. What he's saying here about the change takes place at the rapture. But he's not dealing with the rapture, he's dealing with the change in the body. So you put both of them together. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain. He goes on to the rapture. Paul here is dealing with the change that will take place in the rapture. So the mystery is the mystery of the change in the rapture. Not Anna. Yeah. Now, come again. So he says, yeah. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Whether living or dying, there must be a change. And we've been talking about it. Sowing and reaping. You know, corruption and incorruption, the change that took place, the difference between the bodies. We must all be changed. Every believer. That's the death blow to partial rapture. It's true we won't all die, but we'll all need to be changed, whether living or dead. Now, he deals now in verse 52 with the rapidity of it. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Good, now let me explain. The one moment here is worth missing or worth passing. So, he says now, we shall all be changed in a moment. The rapidity of the change. Now a moment is the smallest possible divisible point of time. Repeat. A moment is the smallest possible divisible point of time. Let me illustrate. Year. Month. A week. A day. An hour. A minute. A second. The rapidity of the change. In the twinkling of an eye, in the casting of the eye, just as long as it takes your lip to drop. At the last trump. Now this is not the last of a series, for there weren't any before. Alright. It links up with 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I'll explain in a moment why I must shout. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The trump of God and the last trump. How to say? The last trump. Well now, please. When I talk about these expositors, the scholars and commentators, I must be present. You see, they will tell us now, this is the Roman world, as some few possibly is. And they say, well, the first trump, you see, was to strike 10. The second trump, they all got into a rose. Now, why not? The third trump was off. Anyway, the last trump, I'm sure. Now, as far as I believe the last trump is the last sound that you hear. Just a minute. You're not trying to tell us in trumpets, are you? Well, you see, I've heard better than 1 Thessalonians 4. I've heard, brethren, in 1 Corinthians 15, that the Spirit of Christ
I'm not here to criticize my preaching, brethren. You understand that, would you? I'm only here to tell you what the pastor's been saying. Will the trumpet sound or not?
Well, now listen.
Listen to it.
Well, up here, he says, change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. Come on now. Come on. For the trumpet shall sound.
You spiritualize as much as you like. You have a big job of trying to do. That's what he says. It's not as quiet as you think.
And yet, on the other hand, it might be like John 12 when it thunders
and everybody wondered if they didn't hear it. They heard it, you know. Trumpet shouts.
The dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Leave that for a moment, I'll deal with it just now. Notice please that verse 53 is before the change. Verse 54 is after the change. Verse 53, before the change, this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54, after the change, then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall be put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, quoting Isaiah 25, verse 8. Then he's singing, oh, grave, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And he's quoting broadly from Isaiah 13, verse 14, taking up and applying these scriptures to the time that is then present. And he's saying, here it is, thanks be unto God which giveth us.
Oh no. Oh no.
Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory.
Have you never done it? We haven't thought any of that.
Christ has done it all. I'll show you in a moment you don't do anything when it comes to the resurrection. But he says, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory.
What does he mean? The victory is demonstrated in us. We are the people who is demonstrating it all. Is that right?
Now, come now please, very quickly. How are the dead raised? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Now why does he shout? Why does he shout? That is important.
Speaking is the method which divine persons have chosen to express their energy.
Strange to you?
Speaking is the method which divine persons have chosen to express their energy. When they want to release energy, they speak. Remember creation, he spake, and it was done. He commanded and it was done. Do you remember in creation, God said, let there be light, and when he spoke, he released his energy. What happened?
And there was light. Very simple, isn't it? Always simple for God and Christ are doing things. Now come over now, release the law. Don't mind.
Here they're all lying there. The Lord looks at a man 38 years lying there and says, will you be made whole?
He says, how can I, Lord? I can't deal with this. The crutch.
Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And when Christ spoke, he released his energy. What happened?
The man rose, took up his bed. Now directly forward to the end times.
And Christ is coming to establish his kingdom. Revelation 19. Out of his mouth went a sharp sword. The sword is for judgment, the mouth is for speaking. He'll never strike a blow. He'll speak and vanquish every foe.
Now let's come to the rapture. You think of millions upon millions of Christians in hell.
Oh, never mind what's happened to their bodies. He'll reconstruct them. Millions upon millions of Christians in the time now present alive, like you and I. The dead will need to be raised. The living will need to be saved. How will he do it? Come on. He'll do it by speaking. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, And when he shouts, he'll release his energy. The dead will rise, the living will be changed, and will be let me listen.
Lazarus is there.
That right?
I says, roll away the stone,
will you? Lazarus, hither, come! And the voice of Christ penetrated the spirit of God.
Power that can raise one man can raise millions of men. It's the same power will operate, the same voice will speak.
The same power that raises one can raise millions. That's logic.
Sure. Lazarus is still raised. The processes of corruption have already begun to change.
Have you ever noticed in John's Gospel
that all the pieces that Christ gives for his two pieces?
That's to magnify the power of the Son of God. If you'll give a blind man sight in John's Gospel, it's a man that was born blind, that never was known, for a man born blind to receive his sight.
If he's going to raise the dead in John's Gospel, it's not Jairus' daughter who's just died.
It's not the young man of Nain on the way
to the graveyard.
It's Lazarus 4 days dead. And when Christ spoke that day and raised Lazarus, he reversed the processes of corruption
and brought him back. The Lord himself said,
supposing he comes tonight,
supposing he comes tonight, what then?
Are you ready?
Oh, you say just a minute.
By the grace of God and the value of the blood of Jesus, I'm ready.
And I'm happy to hear that. I never asked you that. I didn't ask you if the Lord gave me that. He
comes tonight, are you ready to go? Come on now. Everything all right personally? Everything all right in the family?
Everything all right in the business?
Everything all right to your assignment?
Come on now. Will you be happy to go tonight, would you?
Have you been too worldly? Too material? You haven't cultivated this fellowship, the sacrificial living that we've been talking about for 2 weeks?
I want to ask you. It comes to
how strong are the thighs of man? You might not be too happy to go if you haven't learned to love Christ better than anybody else.
Come on.
Have to see this. When we get up there, we'll begin to be
see this.
When we get up there, we'll begin to realize what we sung down here was only too true.
I, when I was in my sins, I, when I knew what is me. Beautiful feet. Nail to sleep. By and by, when I knew what is me. So much more of my life than I may have given thee. I when I